Hello, welcome to Misadventures, a Gloomhaven podcast brought to you by Game Republic Radio. This special episode contains a deep dive into the Spellweaver class. Please enjoy responsibly. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for this special episode. I'm Casey. I'm here with Garrett.
Hey.
Garrett was playing the Spellweaver in our group, and he just retired.
Yeah. Yeah, I was Tanzanite Stonechest was her name, and she was the Spellweaver. She was an interesting class. You know, I picked her, even though you told me, you know, from the get, like, you know, I've read some of the subreddit, and this is one of the tougher classes. But not knowing anything about the game, I saw the ability to get back lost cards, and I was like, oh my god, this is going to put me over the top. Not realizing at that point, I had more lost cards than I think anybody else in the party, right? Like most of my effective things, I would burn a card. So while I could get those back, in the end, it still didn't seem to play out as well with me. And maybe I didn't play the class well. Actually, I'm sure I didn't play the class that well. But I really struggled to keep her. I really struggled to keep her going through a lot of the adventures. You know, I would usually burn out before the end.
Yeah, you definitely had. We definitely saw that problem pop up from time to time. Enough we could give you a hard time about it during the scenarios. I'd like to kind of, you know, just go through the cards, see what you felt was effective and what maybe wasn't as effective, even if you did happen to use it. Mm-hmm. And I guess we should probably give, for those that don't listen every single episode, right? It would probably be beneficial to give them a breakdown of kind of the party composition, at least for the most part. It changed a little bit towards the end because Steve did retire before you, but that was just for a couple of scenarios. That's it.
Right. It was just that the final thing to close out my life goal, you know, was all he had the new class on.
But I'm a big believer that classes don't exist in a vacuum, right? Like your party dynamics are going to kind of influence the way you go with that character and how successful it is. So just for reference, we had myself, I play a brute. Then, of course, we had Garrett with the Spellweaver. Then we had Skip with the Vermilion Mind Thief and Steve with a Tinkerer. Mm-hmm. So we had a pretty well-balanced party as far as melee, ranged attacks, and support. We also kind of drifted into a very summon-heavy group. Because
really
everybody except the Brute had summons and used them frequently. We also got a few items that allowed for additional summons. So we'll keep that in mind. You keep that in mind, you know, as we continue to discuss this class. But Garrett, do you want to start off just like going through the level 1 and level X cards and kind of giving some impressions of them?
Yeah. So the first level X card I grabbed was Aid from the Aether, and it's a 91 initiative. The top is heal 3, range 3, and each can be upgraded. And the bottom was summon Mystic Ally. Now, as Casey said, we relied heavily on the summon. So many times that didn't get used for its heal 3, range 3, which was a non-burn, by the way. Instead, we would summon the Mystic Ally, who had a range of 2 with an attack of 3. Only 2 hit points, but could really get in there and mess things up, right? Let's see here. The Fire Orbs had a move 3 on the bottom, and on the top we had a loss, but it was attack 3, range 3, and target 3 with an XP for each enemy targeted. That's kind of a theme with the Spellweaver. It's kind of these group attacks, right?
Yeah. Which, you know, and Fire Orbs in particular seem to be very effective when you got a chance to use the top.
Yep.
And the movement on bottom is decent as well for, you know, because obviously you just kind of have the one big shot with Fire Orbs. So like early on, that movement 3 is pretty nice.
But here again, that's a lost card and it had an initiative of 69. So what I could run into there is come up with a great plan and things would, you know, I'd go late enough in the turn that it wouldn't work out, you know, and then the card was lost. Which was unfortunate. Let's see here. Flame Strike was an attack 3, range 2. And if there was fire on the table, threw a wound on it as well. Initiative 36 and not lost. So that was a staple attack of mine, as well as the bottom of that was an attack 2, range 2. So I could double up attacks using that card.
Yeah. So one interesting thing about Flame Strike, like you mentioned, you can use a fire for wound. Fire orbs on the lost part generates a fire, which isn't really reliable because you can only do it one or two times right. a session. Did you ever, were you ever able to combo that up, fire orbs on one turn and then Flame Strike the next?
No, I don't think I comboed that particular one. One thing I did run into is there's a good bit of cards in the Spellweaver that use elements, and our Mind Thief Skip, I screwed him over more than a few turns by grabbing an element he was planning on using. Now, he didn't communicate that he was going to use that, right? But it did mess us up a few times, being that element hungry. Let's see here. Next up is Freezing Nova. That's an attack 2 that targets all adjacent enemies with an immobilize. And if you have a snow or ice or whatever to burn, that is another attack plus 1. To that, which is fantastic. But also, I had 7 HP to start, I believe. So yeah. If I've got a bunch of adjacent enemies, I'm already in a bad spot, right? Like, that's not where you want to be. There's no range to it at all.
Not only that, but with myself playing the Brute and then so many summons on the board, if you did have adjacent enemies, somebody else was not doing their job.
Right.
Right. So did you even run that card? Did you use it?
I swapped it out pretty quickly. I think that's what I swapped out for Aid from the Aether, actually. The bottom on that card, though, was a heal 4, range 4 that produced a sun, but it was a lost card. So
we had a Tinkerer, so we don't really need your healing.
Right.
And nothing's using sun.
Next up was the Frost Armor. It has a good top part of an attack 2, range 3, and then you can burn any element to add an attack and get an XP. And that's not lost, and it's really good. But what I found myself using more was the bottom, which was on the next 2 sources of damage to you, suffer no damage instead. So that's 2 negates. That's huge. It's also a loss, right?
It is. Did you kind of ever find that? So it kind of puts you in a little bit of a bind, though, right? Because you can use that to mitigate some damage, but it is a loss. And also, it has initiative 20, so it's one of your faster cards. So if you do use it for the loss, you can't be using it later on to go quickly in a turn.
And what I did early on that messed me up is instead of waiting for a scenario when I would need those 2 losses, like something planned out, I would burn it pretty early in the game to go ahead and get 2 shields up just in case. And that takes a card out of my rotation right away. That messed me up, you know.
And it also, you can run into situations there. We might be fighting weaker enemies in the front room. Mm-hmm. Now you're soaking up some 2 damage attacks instead of a 5 damage attack later on.
Yep. Let's see. The next card I used was Impaling Eruption. And this was a great card. Unfortunately, a loss and slow initiative at a 70. But it was attack 3, range 4, additionally target all enemies on the path to the primary target and get 1 XP for each enemy targeted and create a nature element. That was fantastic because it wasn't hard to get some good lineups with our group comp. We kind of herded things into a ball, right?
Yeah.
Bottom on that's a move 4, too.
Another thing to keep in mind with that, so it's range 4, and then you target all enemies on that path. That path does not have to be a straight line. It just has to be 4 hexes.
Right.
So you can get a little creative to get more enemies in on that.
Yeah, that came good in a few scenarios, but unfortunately, you know, we would get bogged in the early rooms, and I would pop that in the early rooms sometimes, and that would be a bad move. And, you know, that's kind of a running theme with how I played my Spellweaver early on, is I would pop these lost cards way too early. Because I'd be trying to, you know, burst out all this damage early on to get us moving. And then by the time I'd bursted everything down, I'm out. Right.
And the thought process, I'm sure, is, well, I'll get them back at least. You know, I've got another card to get them all back. But you're still, I guess you'd still run the risk of shortchanging yourself turns in the long run by just burning through them as quickly as possible at times.
Exactly. And so if you notice, most of my move cards, you know, Impaling Eruption, Fire Orbs, let's see, those are the only 2 move cards we've seen so far. Those are losses on the top. So I'm burning those pretty quick, right? I don't have any movement now. Let's see. Next up, we have Mana Bolt, which goes on a 7. And I think that is my fastest card. And it was an attack 2, range 3 with burn any element for an extra attack and XP. That was another really good bread and butter card. And the bottom on that was a heal 3, range 1. So not the strongest heal, but it really did help us in a pinch a few times. And neither of those are losses.
So it's interesting that Mana Bolt and Frost Armor have the same tops. So you can kind of see that like that could become your de facto, like that's what I do on a normal turn. And then when needed to, I go big and use a loss card. It also gives you two really reliable ways to eat up elements if people are generating them for you or you're generating them yourself. So that.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing that we consistently struggle with is good element tracking. And even more so now that I'm no longer playing the Spellweaver and there's no one super relying on them. Those get lost a little more often than they should. It happens.
I've got to say, though, like since your Spellweaver's retired, we fought in a few more enemies that generate elements.
Yeah, we've been going up against a lot of like elemental types and the different demons that create tons of elements.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, it'd be interesting to see what your Spellweaver was able to do in those situations. Could have been interesting. You know, if they generate something, then you go on a 7 with a Mana Bolt, suck it up, deal a big attack.
Now, the next card is, you know, the greatest card in the world, which is my Reviving Aether, which recovers all your lost cards and creates an Eclipse rune, I guess. I'm not sure what that one's called. Now, naturally, it's lost, like, for good. You know, once you use it once, it's just gone. And we would use the Tinker sometimes. He has a synergy where he could help me get back. I think it was 2 lost cards. But unfortunately, you know, this is not one he could help me get back. But he could help mitigate kind of me having to use that, which was really helpful. And the bottom on that was a move 4 jump. Really good.
Yeah, jump is amazing. And having that move 4, like that's huge. But so that also puts you in a bit of a pickle, right? Like that's a move card you actually want to use. But eventually you're going to burn that Reviving Aether and you don't get that back.
Exactly. So that's all my moves are on the bottom of burns, right? So far.
Yeah. It's also worth noting, like, I don't think you can build the Spellweaver without this card in your deck. Like, it is non-negotiable. You have too many lost cards. You have to get them back.
The next one up was Ride the Wind, which is a loot 1 on top and a move 8 with jump on the bottom, but that's a loss. And I actually traded that one in because, you know, I was role-playing someone who didn't loot to begin with. And getting something like my summon in place of a single, you know, lost move was more important to me.
You know, Garrett, I recall a scenario where we had to loot things with loot cards.
Yeah.
And you made the comment of, I don't have any loot cards.
Mm-hmm.
But you did have a loot card.
I didn't have any loot cards in my hand because I traded it in.
But you could have swapped it at the beginning of that scenario and maybe made that one a little easier.
Maybe, you know, but what fun is it without the challenge, right?
Yeah.
Now we're kind of on to level 2 cards. And my Spellweaver got up to level 4 before I retired it.
So so you did skip
a few cards. I skipped a couple X cards that I just didn't use.
Yeah, you didn't use those at all. Yeah. And that was Cackling Air and Hardened Spikes. Do you want to talk about those at all, or are they just like...
Well, let me see here. Cackling Air, let me open that back up real quick. So Cackling Air gives you, on your next 4 attacks, add +1 attack. And if you can burn a, is that Steam or whatever, add +2 attack instead. That's really good. I didn't use it because it was a loss and I had other cards I felt were better. The bottom on that, there was a move 3 with an option to like retaliate 2. That's pretty hefty if you can burn a fire for it. But
well, but the thing is, to retaliate 2, you have to get hit in melee.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm avoiding that at all costs. Right.
Right.
So that didn't really make sense.
Even the top, it powers your attacks, but it's also yet another loss card, and you're going to want to do that earlier than normal because you need those attacks powered.
Now, had that been like choose 4 attacks to do that with, I could have, you know, maybe reconsidered that, but just the next 4, it wasn't doing it for me.
Now, I think that's a wind it eats up. I think how that works is you eat up the wind when you play the card, so you don't have to eat up the wind every single time.
Okay.
So like, but that becomes huge at that point, but like it's still where the only person generating wind is the brute. Mm-hmm. And I want to use that wind I just generated. Thank you very much. Right. So it's tough to use that one. I would agree.
The other one you mentioned, Hardened Spikes. the top on that, and this is yet again lost, is retaliate to affect self and all adjacent allies. And you can add another retaliate to that by burning a nature and get 2 XP. So that's not bad. But again, that's me in the melee, right? I don't want that.
Yeah. Like, I would have loved to have had that on me, right? Yeah. As your tank. But oftentimes I'm honestly not adjacent to you, so it's hard to work out.
Yeah.
Bottom's decent.
Yeah, the bottom is decent. The bottom's a move 3, again, on a lost card, right? With if you can burn a steam or ice, rather, it's a shield 2 self. That's really good.
Yeah. But, now, the bottom is not lost. The top is the lost part.
Right, right. But, you know, they're, again, keeping the trend of all of my moves are paired with cards that I really need to use for damage that are lost cards, you know?
Yeah.
So my level 2... the first level 2 card I took was Icy Blast, and that gives a great, 7 hex cluster, kind of like a circle, with attack 2, range 3, and muddle, and 2 XP. But that was huge. We used that to great effect many times, because it took a while for our Marauder to get his attack that could do muddle, so that was kind of our only AoE muddle early on. And that was really, really good. It creates an ice. It's lost. The bottom on that was a heal 6 range 2, but that's also lost. And we had the Tinker, so, you know, wasn't using that for healing.
Yeah, definitely was a fan when we got to pull this thing out. And also, because we're playing at 4 players, we have a lot more enemies on the board, made this even more effective.
Yeah.
So you took that over Flashing Burst.
I did. And Flashing Burst is really good. But I felt like the way we played Icy Blast would work better. Flashing Burst gives you an attack 3, range 3 that creates sun, and it's not lost, with a 26 initiative, which is super fast for me. And the bottom is a move 4, so that's actually a hell of a card. But it did not get put in the rotation.
The difficult thing about Icy Blast is it's a loss on the top and a loss on the bottom.
Yep.
So you're either doing a crappy attack or crappy move, or you're doing something decent, but then you've lost the card, so...
It was kind of our nuke, you know, and honestly, if I had taken Flashing Burst instead, I probably could have stayed in the fight longer and actually been better. But at the time, that felt like the right move.
Yeah, there were times, too, that we needed that. We needed the damage from that Icy Blast.
Yeah. And the muddle was just huge. Yeah.
One benefit to Flashing Burst, though, if you were to go that route, it generates a sun, which, again, like nothing's really using sun. But both your Frost Armor and your Mana Bolt could use that to bolster those damages. So I can see that synergizing pretty well.
Yep. Let's see here. The level 3 card that I took was Cold Fire. And that gives a 3 hex attack, kind of in the shape of a triangle. It was attack 1, range 3. And I think I only took this on one dungeon before I put it back up, because I never had a good use for it. Because for this thing to be its best, you would want to burn a fire and an ice. You burn a fire, you get +2 attack. You burn an ice, you get stun. So you're now you're talking about a 3 attack 3, range 3, 3 targets with stun. Freaking amazing. But the conditions to get a fire and an ice, it just didn't really come up, you know?
Yeah, you need those elements generated. Now, I do think
there are maybe... It's not lost, by the way.
Right. So there are some cards that generate fire and ice for you. Icy Blast will generate some ice. Fire Orbs generate some fire that you can use.
Yeah.
But again, those are both lost cards when you do that. I want to say that the Spellweaver has... I want to say there's some cards later on maybe that give the Spellweaver more ways to generate that, and Cold Fire can become a bit more of a thing.
Well, and one thing, too, that I didn't pick up that, again, in hindsight, I'm now kicking myself for is there's a potion that lets you generate an element of your choice.
Oh, that'd be huge. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, single use until you rest or whatever. But holy crap, you know, with this layout, that would have been major. The other level 3 card I didn't take, and that was Elemental Aid. It was a heal 3, range 2. And if you had a nature, you could add 2 healing to that and an experience point. But again, our Tinker was already doing a good job of managing the heals. And the bottom on that was a shield 2, affect any one ally. And if you could burn a wind, you could affect all allies instead. That is a fantastic support card. Neither of those are losses, which is really rare for my class. But didn't take it again because Steve, our Tinker, was doing a great job of kind of keeping everybody up.
Yeah, it's like you're not, Spellweaver's not playing support, right? I don't think that's, I personally don't think that's a great use for the Spellweaver. I don't know why you would take that card. Also, it has a really bad initiative.
It does, but you know, also I could see how in a different party comp, if we didn't have the Tinker, you could build your deck in the Spellweaver in such a way that you were primary heals, right? And a lot less lost cards that way. And you could probably stay in the fight a lot longer as more of a pure support. But we were using me as a glass cannon instead. Let's see here. Level 4 cards. I didn't take either of these, actually, because neither of them really caught my fancy. And by the time I hit level 4, we were mid-quest to retire the character anyway. Level 4 cards. We have Forked Beam, which is attack 2, range 3, target 2, get an XP, 20 initiative, and not lost. Amazing. I don't know why I didn't take that now that I'm looking at it. Like,
so what did you take instead of the fours? Did you go back and grab one of the twos and, or threes?
I did. I think that might have been where I picked up Flashing Burst.
Okay, yeah, I got you.
And the bottom on that was a move 4, which Flashing Burst also had a move 4 on the bottom, and there were only 6 initiative points different there too. Let's see here. The other level 4 card was Spirit of Doom. The top is a loss. It is curse at a range 4. And if you had a, you know what, with this picture I'm looking at, I can't. Oh, yeah. Eclipse. If you have an eclipse, kill one normal target instead. That's really cool, but it's also a loss, right? Like if it was kill any non-boss creature and I could take out an elite with it, that'd be worth me losing it, you know, right. But not just for a forest imp or something, right? And bottom on that card, and initiative on this was terrible, by the way, 81. Heal X, affect any one ally, where X is half of that ally's maximum hit point value rounded down. And if you had a, is that Sun? X is that ally's maximum hit point value instead. So you could, it's a loss, but you could full heal somebody if you had a Sun up. And that's pretty huge. But again, I wasn't playing a support style Spellweaver.
Right. That card would be really interesting if the top part, like ignore the kill one normal target grab, right? Like if that got removed, but that wasn't a loss up top. And then every time through your deck, you're adding a curse to the enemy deck. Like that could be interesting.
Yeah, no, that would be fantastic. But, you know, both of them losses. I mean, yeah, you get to use it one more time, but just does not feel worth it. Again, if I was running a healer supports spec, having a full heal kind of in the back for when we needed it could be a pretty big deal.
Yeah. You capped out at level 4. That's where you retired.
Right.
So we could go through the levels 5 through 9 cards, but I don't know if that would be really worthwhile just because we haven't played with those cards and like
it'd be speculation.
Yeah, it'd be speculation. Your items are going to change quite a bit. Yeah. Party composition is going to change quite a bit, and like you'd be speculating what the class is really morphing into at that point. So
now, speaking of items, though, the items that I used with regularity were the Power Potion, which gave me an extra attack point on a single attack move, right? So that was really cool. Usually paired that with my big Hex Strike that could hit 7 guys at a time. Also the Invisibility Cloak, which I treated a lot like I treat potions in RPGs, which was I need to just keep holding on to it in case I need it. And so it almost never got used. It was just always like, oh, no, now's not the time. Which if you listen to our earlier episodes, there's times it really should have been used.
For sure.
The other item I used a lot, and I don't want to spoil the name, but it was an item we got out of a treasure chest that allowed me to summon a melee summon. And so as we said at the beginning, you know, very summon heavy party, so I could get my range summon and my melee summon out there and have them working together with the rest of the group, which was fantastic because that was 2 summons from me, 2 summons from the Mind Thief. The Tinker had 1 summon? I think just the dummy, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, so that's up to 5 summons out on the table, plus the 4 of us. So that's a party of 9, you know, going up against these monsters sometimes. And that sounds a lot more powerful than it was in practice, but it was also, it was really good. It was helpful.
Yeah. Like, I feel like common knowledge amongst, at least in, like, I visit the Gloomhaven subreddit quite a bit. And like, the thought process there is that like summons is not the most powerful strategy to go, but I think we bought into it enough that it was at least entertaining for us. And it worked fairly well. I mean, we weren't failing scenarios, right? So if you're having a good time and you're succeeding at the scenarios, it's a viable strategy in my opinion. It was an interesting approach to take, and it worked out okay for us.
Yeah, I think it was fine. Now, you notice I didn't have a lot of items, and that's because early on I decided to role play my character as someone who wouldn't pick up money. So the only time I ever got money was as quest rewards. And so I never really actually could buy anything. And I'm sure that really gimped my playstyle a lot. But that's how it worked out. And we still made it through the scenarios. We never actually failed any of them.
Okay, so we just kind of went over your expectations for the class. We broke down some of the cards. End of the day, you're retiring this guy. What were your thoughts on the class? Are you glad to be retired, glad to moving on to something new, or would you have liked to play it out more?
If I could have started it all over from the beginning, like with my knowledge, I might have enjoyed it more. But I didn't greatly enjoy playing the class. I felt like I was always a step behind or always stressed out about running out of cards just constantly, where the rest of you were kind of just milling along. Right. And that kind of got frustrating. When I changed to my new class, suddenly I have more cards in my hand at the end of a round than most anybody. And it's a whole different way of playing, and I'm enjoying it a lot more. I don't think I would go back to Spellweaver. It's just not what I thought it would be. The initial thoughts of a mage in any RPG is usually going to be huge. And I'm sure had I played it better, it would have been. But it was, more times than not, it was just frustrating. And
yeah,
I would end up, dropping out before we'd even get to the final room, sometimes even before the final room, halfway through the dungeon. And then suddenly we've still got 4-man difficulty with 3 people. And that really put a strain on the party.
I definitely saw you struggling a bit, getting frustrated with especially the lack of cards and burning out early and all that stuff. I've kind of had a negative taste in my mouth for the class as well, just seeing your struggles with it and how it kind of interacts with the party at times. I got to be honest, though, like going through some of these cards with you, kind of interested in playing a Spellweaver at some point. Like I see there's some synergies there, right? Like you start looking ahead at the next, level 2, 3, 4 cards and seeing, okay, I can generate that here and use this here. I think I would build it a little bit differently than what you were going. Maybe like I was mentioning, I think my Frost Armor and Mana Bolt tops would be like the keys to my engine. And then you can kind of compare combine that with things like Flashing Burst and Cold Fire and, get a little bit more of a, consistent engine that focuses less on the big attacks early.
Right.
I think that could work pretty well. But again, it's like 8 cards is tough. So,
yeah, I think if you wanted to play Spellweaver, you would really do yourself a favor by reading the guides and paying attention to that and looking at your builds early on, where that may not be as necessary with some other classes. Spellweaver demands a little bit more, at least from what I've seen. Compared to the class I'm playing now, Spellweaver demanded a lot more caution and a lot more planning. The class I'm in now is very much just wreck 'em and move on, kind of do whatever seems fun at the time. And I've still got plenty of cards because there's almost no lost cards.
Yeah. Well, Garrett, thanks for joining us on this special episode to go through the Spellweaver class and share your experiences and impressions with the class. Hopefully, the listeners out there found it useful information.
Yeah. And, I would love to hear other people's impressions on the Spellweaver, because I know I went about it a very different way, especially looking at the cards. I see a much better way I could have built it. And I never appreciated just how much you could spec it into support. So I'd love to hear other people's opinions if they ran a support version or if they ran a more sustainable engine. Tweet me at GPub Radio. Maybe get some of your expectations, get some of your how it actually worked out for you and your party. I'd love to talk to you about that.
All right, guys, thank you very much for joining us for this special episode. Join us again on Friday for the next episode in our misadventures, and we will see you then. You've been listening to Misadventures, a Gloomhaven podcast brought to you by Gamer Public Radio. Please join us every Friday for new episodes at misadventurespodcast.com or find us on your podcast application of choice. Music for this podcast is provided by Kevin McLeod. For more of Kevin's work, please check out incompetech.com. See you next time.